Thank you, Lord God. to God. Every morning you wake up with God, it's going to be all right. Amen. Have faith. I wake up with it every morning. Have faith. That's the only reason I wake up is because of Him. Amen. He's a good God. Let's get into His word this morning. Have your sheets and scriptures. I do want to encourage you, though. Even though we don't have seats most of the time, try to bring your Bible or your device. Amen. Because there are sometimes when you get scriptures that I don't have enough room to put on the sheets. All right. We are going to read, look at the Bible. John 7:37-39. Because that's our key scripture. Okay. So that's the one we're going to read. Some of you know we're going to touch on throughout the message. But we're going to read verses, John chapter 7. Gospel of St. John, chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. It reads, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'
My God.
But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Amen. God's word is amen. Let us be guided by it. God's good. Listen. With a new series today, I want to talk about this series is entitled Inviting the Uninvited.
Yeah.
Inviting the Uninvited. I was looking at some research by Christian organizations, and I looked at two or three different ones, and I came to the conclusion, because it was like 70-80% of most of the surveys that said the reason why people are presently here at church, but they gave different reasons why, but the majority, 70-80% of people are in church, it was because someone invited. Have you invited somebody?
Amen.
70-80% of the people that are in our churches today are there because a friend or family member or co-worker invited.
Amen.
But I want to, for the subject of our message today, say to you, don't just give an invitation. Be an invitation.
That's good.
Be a living invitation.
Amen.
As believers, there's something about us that should be invited. Mm-hmm. That when people experience us, it should be to them an invitation to know how it is to live life with God.
Yeah.
Is your life an invitation so that you can somehow quell thirst in others? Because you're so invited that you want to live, that they want to live a life with God. One thing is, there's a thing that's invited. Some things you just experience that. Like sometimes when it's a cold day and you come home and there's a fireplace. It may be hot chocolate. Yeah. Or something that you can get in front of the fireplace. That's invited. One of the most invited things to me is that this cause. Streams and fountains. by the side of our whole church. But right there in Eden, what makes it so amazing when you come into Big Tree is because they have a pond with a waterfall. Yeah. It is calm and relaxing. Yeah. So if you had a stressful week, it kind of just changes the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And you can
kind
of just feel God's presence. So, you know, I say, hey, I like that. So, you know, I tried. You know, I couldn't do the whole thing with Big Pool. So I did get up and walk. It's not working right now. It's not working. It's between the two welcome men. Amen. And I don't know if y'all like it, but I know justice. So we got to get that thing hooked back up. You're working on it. You get it back flowing. Amen. Because I wanted it to be inviting.
Amen.
We want this space. This sacred space to be one that's inviting the people. That's why we try to keep it clean and all and decorated well and everything up in order. Because we want it to be an inviting place for people to come.
Amen.
Yeah. So if you bring your friends and neighbors, they'll feel comfortable. But see, not only must the facility be inviting, but we have to be inviting.
Yeah. Amen.
Craig Rochelle. Now, we have told you this story a couple of times. He was preaching. This is, right now, he's a pastor of Life Church, one of the largest mega churches, if not one of the top five, probably mega churches in America. Before all that happened, he was preaching. He had just began going around different places, and he was going to preach at this church, and they invited him to preach. And he was ready to be next to him. Now, one of them came and said, hey, you really got to preach well. You got to do a good job today. I said, why come out here? He said, go. We got a visitor coming today.
Okay.
And we need you to do your best. We need you to be on your point. Amen. So we got a visitor. She said, how do we have a visitor? They called and asked for directions. So we got a visitor. We know we got a visitor coming. So, later on, but it's not one guy, he didn't look too inviting. You know, he's kind of old school sacred. Yeah. Didn't have an inviting aura.
Right.
Didn't have an inviting spirit. So, later on, I should look at that church. I started. The old man was at the door. And a young lady told her, she put her bag out of the car. But she wasn't, you know, she wasn't dressed right. She wasn't looking right. You know, she was just came in like this regular coat. And this was the old spirit of everybody, you know, suits and dressed up. And she came to that door. And the pastor said, we don't come to church like that. We were our best before God.
Lord have mercy.
It's you who's thirsty.
Yeah.
Left broken.
Yes, my God.
Went back to her car. And left. And Craig said he tried to catch her, but she left too quickly. But he said, you know, from that point on, he said, I'm just going to have one dress code.
Come on out.
Get dressed.
Come on out.
Because he never wanted it to happen again. Because church needs to be a welcoming place.
Amen.
Where everybody, regardless of race, color, rich or poor, black or white, loud or quiet, sane or
sinner,
is what?
Right.
We invite everybody. And that's what I want to do, being invited. Because sometimes the only invitation somebody is going to get is your life.
Amen.
brain, in my mind, whether it's sermons or other things, other ideas. I'm an idea person. So sometimes I'm in my world of ideas. And some people see my paper when I'm in the world of ideas. They think I'm unapproachable, but I'm just in that world right then.
Amen.
But I'm trying to get more balance. That's my gifting, my ideas, working my ideas, stuff like that, creating stuff. It's part of my purpose, but yet still there's another purpose, because people won't ever hear the ideas if I'm not invited.
Amen. That's good.
Now,
amen.
I don't know how I'm going to get along with this sermon, but y'all, I need y'all to come on with me. All right, there's going to be a lot of stuff to come. Now, listen. Let's first look at this concept. The concept of being the invitation. The main scripture we want to get is that John 2:39. But now, I'm going to talk about some other things before we get to that. Number one, A. Because I want to talk about three kinds of faith, and you'll see how this fits in a little later. The first kind of faith I want to talk about is faith that faulty. Faith that has faulty faith. This is the kind of faith that the devil has and the demons have. James says, hey, show me your faith without your works, that's faulty.
Yes.
And I'll show you my faith with my works.
Say
that you believe. Well, the demons and the devil, they believe.
Right.
But we won't see them in heaven.
Right.
Because their faith is faulty. It's more than just saying that the information you got is true. Sometimes that's where people stop. You know, most of the time when you go on this church, we give you a little interview, and an interview is not like a job interview. It's just to see where you are. But we want to make sure that everybody knows the basic plan of salvation.
Right.
So we'll take you through that and have you to know that Jesus died for your sins, and you can put your trust in him,
and
if you're willing to let him be Lord of your life, you can be saved right then if you're not saved. So we'll talk about that one for a little bit. And sometimes people say it again, but sometimes even though we say we get it, I don't know if we really get it at that first interview. That's why we so encourage and say at this church, discipleship is important, because sometimes we don't know if you got it or not.
Amen.
So we want to work with you a little while and share with you more until we know you got it.
Right, right.
And one way to know if you got it is when you move to that second state from a faith that's faulty to a faith that follows.
Yeah.
A faith that follows, the following is evidence that you believe. When you believe in who Jesus is, you will follow him. See, the faulty faith sometimes you believe in something about him. Every son of God.
Right.
But when you believe in him so much that you're willing to follow him, and you say, you're my Lord, you lead, I'll follow, you ask, I'll obey, I'm willing to submit myself to your Lordship, let you be Lord God of my life. That's a following faith. Jesus often asks his disciples, like especially one of the fishermen, hey, follow me.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like I think with Peter and Andrew, when he said, they were out there fishing, they had a big catch, probably one of the biggest catches ever. And he said, follow me. Now remember, they were in the fishing business. So this is like, you know how it is on like retail, on Black Friday, your big day. So this was Peter and Andrew's big day. And Jesus said, now they got fish, they got a boat full of fish. And Jesus said, follow me, and they left. Their big day. You got to trust him if you believe the big day. But it's okay, Lord. You say, follow me, I'm ready to follow. That's the second kind of faith. That faith that follows, that faith that obeys, that faith that wants to be the person that God would have to be, that faith that says, yes, if this is my calling, if this is my purpose, I'm willing to do it. I'll do it, because sometimes when you do it, you say, I'll do it even if you put me in a place where I'm not as blessed, but I'm more blessed.
Yeah, yeah.
I may have to it don't stop at you.
Amen. Right. Right.
When you're that third level of faith, you say, Lord, not only I you, Lord, you bless me, but I'm not just satisfied with you blessing me.
Come on,
now that you bless me,
bless
I want to be a blessing to other people.
Amen.
The blessing that you bless me with, the thing that you've given to me, the goodness, the grace, the mercy that you show me, now let me show that to others. That's the flow. So sometimes, you know, we just like the little sounds we got outside. We're made to flow.
Amen.
But it ain't no flow. See, the sounds ain't flowing because we got the motors burned out. Amen. The motors burned out, so the sounds won't flow. We got to get it fixed. So sometimes, in order to flow, you got to have a motor that makes you flow. Look back at your verses, the 37 at the bottom. I want to talk about that motor that makes you flow. Jesus said on the last day, that great day of the feast. Now this was the feast of the tabernacles. Great feast. We're going to play out for from Sabbath to the Sabbath. It was 7 days, but it was the way that it seemed like a thing, from Sabbath to the next Sabbath, okay? And what they would do, they were mimicking kind of celebrating when Israel was out in the wilderness. So what happened, this is one of the major celebrations and festivals that the guys had to come to. If you live within a certain distance, you're supposed to be there.
Okay?
So they would come. And all the time they would bring their families and choose their families and put together. But what they did, these were temporary shelters. So they had to build, they had to take straw or sticks and stuff. And to build a little shelter. And at nighttime, what you could do, you could see the stars. And imagine how those that crossed the wilderness on their way to the promised land, that God provided all those needs. And realize the same stars that you were seeing that night. The stars that came to father when they crossed, but God took care of them. And it reminded them that the Lord made a way. Hey, you can imagine your children and you telling them a story. Looking at the stars and say, yeah, they made your houses like this. And as we crossed the wilderness, they would look up at God every morning. God would provide manna, a great water and rock as they crossed this wilderness. They're listening to the stories of how good God was. And he said, that same God that was good to them when they grow up, he's been good to us. And he'll be good to you when you grow up. And you have some adventures. You can trust in God to provide for you. They had a whole week of that. Enjoying each other. Celebrating the crossing of the wilderness. Again, on that last day, what they would do, they went into the temple. Now, every day the priest often would go down to the water, and they'd take their pitchers down into a pool of Siloam, and they would get that water and bring it back and pour it on the altar. Now, on the last day, they had a ceremony. Well, this is what they did. They walked around the altar 6 times, and then they stopped. And then they walk around a 7th time. What did it remind you of? Jericho. Because man said we was in the wilderness, but now we at Jericho. And when they walk around that 7th time, they would holler out, and what the priest would do, the priest would pour water. And they would explain that there was the spirit, that there was symbolic of God. said, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Jesus, that's how it out. And everybody look around. That was an invitation. So you understand the water was now for you physically. I'm the same thing for you spiritually.
Yeah.
Well, so what was he talking about? He believes in me, explained it. And the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So once you drink of me, the blessings that you get from me are going to flow out of other people.
Yeah.
And when you flow, you glow.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. That when you're flowing, you glow. What are you talking about, Pastor?
Hold on.
Now, when he was speaking concerning the Spirit, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, they had got the Holy Spirit now, because the Holy Spirit didn't come and came down on their Pentecost. Now, Old Testament, the Spirit will come on you. But when he said they had to see the Holy Spirit come up, the time that the church would want to receive the Holy Spirit in them. It had been on them in the Old Testament. When somebody was going to do a job, they had an anointing of the Spirit on the outside. But nobody had ever had the Spirit on the inside until the day of Pentecost. And it came to see them on the inside. Now, all of us as believers have the Spirit on the inside. Okay? Because Jesus is glorified. Now, let me show you why when you flow, you go. This is one I need to get. I hope you got your Bibles. Galatians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 19. You say, remember, this is important. Because when you flow, you what? Here we go. Everybody, verse 19. That's my own. Verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath. Selfish ambition, dissension, heresy, law. How much mess we got in us? Envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalry. This is where it needs to end the life. All stuff in life is.
Right.
It is the presence. Okay?
Amen.
Now, when you see the Holy Spirit, couple things happen. I mean, this contrast. You see, what A is, the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit produces eternal life. Most times, talk about eternal life, think about how long it is. Oh, eternal life doesn't even live forever. That's part of it. But it's not more important than how long you live, it's how well you live.
Amen.
It's having a life of quality.
Yeah.
The quality of life that God meant for you to have. The Spirit helped you do some instructions. I'm glad they still doing instructions.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm glad that he's began to thrust those things out of my life. He's continually thrusting those things out of my life. All those toxic things. Because if he didn't thrust them down, you have a stinky life.
Amen.
When we were building this, or when we were designing the church, and building this, and some people got kind of upset with me, especially some of the ladies, because they wanted me, like in most churches, especially more traditional churches, to have a restroom when you walk in that front door. You should have a restroom on both sides when you walk in that front door. But you don't want that guy there. And I'm saying, yeah. But the problem is, most times that'll be all right. But sometimes folk mess up restrooms.
Amen.
And I don't want folk to come in the front door.
That's the first thing you said. Come on, man.
And have an uninvited experience.
Right.
changes the water. It makes it more delicious, even the greater one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we want. We don't want the environment to change everything. We want to change our environment. So when you're on the job and you have it, you're an inviting person, you change the environment.
Right,
on the job.
Right. It's true.
So that makes you a more needed, a more important, and hopefully a more well-paid, a more well-paid employee because of what you bring to the workplace. Yeah. And go ahead and tell me on the interview, hey, I bring something to the workplace.
Amen.
I make my workplace
Amen.
Better.
Amen.
I bring some things to my workplace that make my workplace better.
Amen.
I don't know if you had somebody else to do an interview so far. Amen. But because I have a great attitude. Amen.
Right.
I care about people. I'm concerned about the customer. I'm concerned about you got to sell yourself and your attitude because that's what Jesus has given you to make you valuable.
Amen.
You ain't got nobody like me. I'm invited. When your customers come to me, believe me, they don't want to come back again because I am invited.
Amen.
I am the invitation.
All right. Amen.
Yes.
Come on now. Yeah, yeah.
Look for atmosphere. You're a supervisor. You hire somebody. Look for atmosphere.
Amen.
But more than change it to a positive direction. You don't want somebody to change your attitude to negative. You want somebody to change your attitude positive.
Right.
Now listen here, y'all. I got to move real quick now. But I got a whole story to tell y'all. I ain't got to yet. But good thing I can preach fast. All right. Here we go. Then the last part is the convert. Y'all already heard this story. That's why I'm not spending a lot of time on it. Y'all know this story. About that woman on the well.
Right.
You remember Jesus sitting on the well? Now, if Jesus was sitting on the well at midday, because most of the time, Jews would not have even been on this well because this well was in Samaria. Samaria was a place that Jews didn't even go.
Right.
Because they didn't hang out with Samaritans. Jews didn't.
Right.
They didn't have no dinner. They would go around the whole city. You know, like some cities and those that designed those cities didn't want to have to deal with certain neighborhoods, so they put freeways over those neighborhoods.
Right. Yeah.
So they would have to deal with what was going on in those neighborhoods. Well, that's kind of how Samaria was. But Jesus says, I must need go to Samaria.
Yeah,
because I got somebody I need to invite somewhere.
My Lord.
I got somebody that feels left out and is never invited to anything.
Right.
She never is invited to the dinner party. She's never invited to the graduation. She's never invited to the wedding. She's never even invited to the funeral.
Right.
Have you ever been alone in a crowded room?
My Lord.
This is it. But Jesus said, and Jesus said, well, because he knows he's going to show up. In the middle of the day, the highest point of the day, here she comes. And she comes out and surprises her that he's there.
Yeah.
But I like what Jesus said. Jesus asked her for water.
Yeah.
This is important because he initiated.
Yeah. Ah, come on now.
Because she would have never have initiated because she had been beat down by life so much. Sometimes you'd have been, amen, you'd have been rejected so much.
Right, that's true.
You'd have been rejected so much that you're afraid that even comes by it because you're afraid you're going to be rejected again. And that moral direction is so sore.
Yeah.
You don't want to be kicked in it again. So Jesus knew he had to be the one. He had to be the one who's willing. And my brothers and sisters, when we're going out trying to invite others to have an experience with Christ and to enjoy life with a great God that we serve, we have to take the initiative because sometimes life has been so hard on them. Sometimes there's trauma and pain and wounds that they're suffering that they can't initiate. So we have to initiate. We They will ask you what church you go to. They will ask you about the great man they see in your life. So you have to ask them for things.
Yeah.
You say, can I have a drink of water? And they say, wait a minute. You were Jewish around the Samaritan woman. This ain't working here. Because number one, Jews and Samaritans, they don't have no dealing like this. They don't ask each other for water. They go around and try to warn each other. And now, I'm a woman, you're a man. We can't be out of public talking like this. But Jesus was more inviting than all those things that were hindrances. And Jesus says, hey, you drank that water, you won't thirst again. How Jacob built the world. But if you drink the water that I give, you'll never thirst. And then he said that water will be like a well, a flow, a spring that springeth and overflow. Jesus was welcoming. He was welcoming. He was inviting. Because she had never been invited. That's why she came out at noonday. Because in the morning, when all the other ladies were there getting their water, they were in their little groups. And nobody ever invited her to a group because she felt alone in the crowd. And it's harder. I'd rather be alone by myself than alone in the crowd. Because when I'm alone by myself, I can just say it's a location. The reason why I'm alone is because I'm at this location. But when you're alone in the crowd, you know it's not the location.
Right, yeah.
You feel like it's you. Yeah. But the crowd is here. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is invited. Mm-hmm. But Jesus invited her. Jesus invited her. The conversation. Mm-hmm. He invited her to experience a water that will become. And I like she said, I like this is feeling very much. I'm already halfway through this thing when we talked it out. That very much says the inviting will begin with give me. Because she said, give me this water that I won't have to come to this world no more. Because it's hot, and if I come in the morning, I don't like how I'm treated. Give me this water that you're talking about. So I won't have to come to this well no more. And Jesus had realized that she had a third that she didn't even know she had. Okay, she said to her, I don't think she realized she thinks she did thirsty for water.
Right.
But her life is thirsty for purpose, for meaning, for the thing that I put in her, that grabs and searches and speaks. For the more that she was created for. She was created with a God sized hole that nothing can fill but the God of glory. Some people say, listen, she don't understand. You're not going to kill other people. She's okay. I'll give you a water, but go get your hood.
Yeah.
And she said, sir, I have a hood. She was number one. We said, don't get a hug. She said, now, think about it. You stand up. Think about what you've been trying to feel.
Come on.
Think about what you've been thirsting for. You thought that a man could give you fulfillment. But I'm going to tell you, there's a God size hole in you.
Yeah.
The only God can feel. Because she wrote it. She said, I had five hugs. Did you share it? He said, you had five of them. And he said, you got one at home now. that don't get it.
Yeah.
Tell me how you made it.
Yeah.
They know you had a devil of love once. They say, oh yeah, I understand, because you had a sin to how did you make it, man? How did you make it when everything in your world fall apart? How did you make it when you lost your job? And you weren't able to support your family? How did you make it? Because you've been there.
Yeah.
You broke.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden, the love, the peace,
yeah.
The kindness,
yeah.
The gentleness, the patience, all those things can
make
you in life.
My God, my God.
And see, because of her, many came to Jesus. Many came to Jesus. Now, this is it. First generation, all of you want to be disciples to make disciples of me. That's why I want to. I told you this before, a few weeks ago. That's why, at Bethsaida, I want you to specialize into gold plates.
Amen.
Now, we've been specialized in the other time, the gold plates. Desserts, chicken, red beans, pizza. You know, we specialize in gold plates. When you come here, we celebrate stuff. You won't have a plate to take home. But we specialize in gold plates. So, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, the pastor, the Sunday school teacher, the Bible teacher, we all prepare plates.
Amen.
When you come here, that you can have a good meal. You want to have a good to go
with
me. Take your job.
Amen.
Because somebody at your job
come on.
That wasn't here.
Yeah.
And you need to share your experience.
That's good.
With them. Yeah. See, when we invite people to Bethsaida, we're not inviting them to the service. Listen to me now. We're not inviting them to the service. When they're invited here, listen, they are invited. We invite them to church, not the building.
Not the building. Yeah. Come on.
The people.
Yeah.
Because you have experiences with God
yeah.
that you can share with them.
Yeah.
They invite them to come live with God.
Amen.
So you have to be ready to come Sunday. You don't just come for service.
Amen.
You come to be here.
Amen.
Because we've all been invited to share with one another in the journey as God takes us forward.
Amen.
Be the invitation. I'm going later on, probably later on, what I want you to do. I want to really do it. I want to leave this message here. With this card, it's a name, the card made, where you want to invite somebody. You don't want to invite them to the service, you invite them to the saints.
Right.
Amen. Because the saints is who they need to meet. They need to see people's lives be changed.
Right.
They need to see people struggling with problems.
Yeah.
All of us are not because we don't all solve issues the same way. But we got a God that's good.
Amen.
And they need to see people that say, God, I'm going through right now, but God
Amen.
Is still good.
Amen.
They need to meet people that they can laugh when they need to be crying.
Yeah.
They need to meet people that's strong when all the weight of the world is on their shoulders. They need to see people's lives are falling apart. When their lives are falling apart, their heart is falling into God's hands.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
there's no better place to have a broken heart into a great into the hands of a great God.
That's real.
They don't know about that until they come and meet you. They come and meet Bernice. They come and meet Julie.
Right.
Amen. They come and meet Rodney. Amen.
Yeah.
They come and meet Tristan. And they come and meet Connie.
Yeah.
You come to me, Judy. You come to me, Dale. You come to me, all of you. Sister Jean, Fran, Maxine. And they come to me, Carl. Maybe they'll see the prayer and they're going to do it.
Yeah. Come on,
Dale.
Come on.
Because I ain't got all the answers. But you got Jesus.
Yeah.
Everything we need to make a future. We need to have forgiveness for. Because we need your power. So ask the Lord, share it with us. I want to give you a couple moments to shout with you.
Part of our church. They may choose not to be part of our church, but long they're part of
have that on your mind. It's going to be a great invitation. All right, so I think this is it for now. Let's stand. The same blood. The same grandma, the same blood. The same blood.